Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Out it comes to Green. Another chance for the lead. And this time, he splashes it through.
Bucks Talk starts now.
And Milwaukee is going to come away with a hard-earned, gritty 113-109 win against a Pistons team that was up by as many as 18.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
Gritty is the way to describe this one tonight. 113-109 win by the Bucks. For all intents and purposes, you played this game without Giannis. He exits 3 minutes into the game with what the team has termed a right calf strain. We now await any further updates on what the timetable is for Giannis. I think anybody watching the game may have had some flashbacks to other injuries we've seen through the years, other non-contact. I know Doc said in his postgame he didn't feel it was a non-contact. There was clearly some contact on the lead-up to that play. But, you know, in many ways, it triggered memories of Damian Lillard rupturing his Achilles, where we saw a very similar body language and a very similar setup of Dame going down and staying down and kind of knowing there was something wrong with him. Giannis had a lot of the same look there, as he needed a little bit of help to get to his feet and then limped to the bench before ultimately going up the tunnel. As we heard from Doc Rivers, went immediately to the hospital. He is, I believe, as we speak, undergoing an MRI. So later this evening, we'll have some type of update on what the status is for Giannis. But, you know, this was obviously one of the more interesting days in recent history for what started as off-the-court chatter and what ended with the injury to Giannis. 855-616-1620, the Signing Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I don't want to take too much away from the win and let that get lost in the shuffle, because there's a lot to note in this victory and a lot of individual performances to call out. And it's quite frankly, you know, the way that we had stressed for a while in that five-game absence of Giannis's with the adductor strain, this is the way you're going to need to play. And it helps to have Kevin Porter Jr. back on the floor, as we heard from Doc Rivers after the game, and as A.J. Green talked about with both me and Dave Kane afterwards as well. But this is what you're going to have to do, right? If it's going to be a short-term thing, if it's going to be a long-term thing, the path to success for the Bucks is going to be to rely on your defense, to start to lean into becoming a defensive team and getting paint touches. I think you can make a strong case. Shooting is important, but the shooting might have gotten a little too far out of balance for this team. When they found success tonight was when they were playing downhill and getting into the paint and using that to create those looks from three, not just moving the ball around the perimeter. But the defense tonight was the story, and again, the individual performances from Kevin Porter Jr., Jericho Sims, Ryan Rollins, A.J. Green, Bobby Portis. It goes on and on and on tonight in a gritty win for this Bucks team. And again, the elephant in the room is the status of Giannis that we wait on for reasons we did not think we would be waiting on when this day began. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to chime in with us tonight. A lot to discuss. I am sure there is a lot to get off your chest, and it probably changed over the course of the last 2.5 hours. So we'll dig into some more of the numbers tonight, look ahead to what's up next for this Bucks team, and see what updates will come here over the course of the next hour. But plenty of time to hear from you tonight as well. Again, the number to join us, 855-616-1620. More after this on Bucks Talk. Bucks beat the Pistons tonight inside of Fiserv Forum, 113-109. Pistons that came in with the best record and still have the best record in the Eastern Conference. A very bizarre day from start to finish here. So for the game, and again, I do want to talk a little bit about this game and show it the proper amount of attention it deserves, but I recognize there's some other things going on, and this was a big day in terms of the chatter that was out there, so We will give you a chance to weigh in on that as well and hear your thoughts on how the day began, the injury to Giannis, what happens if this is a long-term deal and worst-case scenario this season for the Bucks. Does that make you reevaluate some things? So a lot of avenues to take this one here today. But again, Jericho Sims, fantastic today, rebounding the basketball. We saw quite a bit of zone from the Bucks once again. Doc said they did it for about 2.5, 3 quarters. It felt like it was the duration of the game, that there was maybe a couple of possessions and sequences each quarter where they did not. But very, very heavy zone usage in this one today, and they had largely gone away from it in the past 3 or 4 games here. The one thing about the zone is it does make you susceptible to giving up offensive rebounds to your opponent. And we started to see that bubble up in moments of this game. The Pistons finished this game with 13 offensive rebounds. The Bucks weren't poor on the offensive glass. They finished with 8, 14 points that they scored off of those. Jericho Sims was a monster with 4 of those 8 offensive rebounds. Kuzma and Bobby Portis had the other 4. They each finished this game with 2. But this was quite simple tonight. Bucks still lost the modern math, where the Pistons took 95 shots in this game to the Bucks 82. The Bucks were more efficient. They got up to another 49% shooting performance. They did not hit threes. 13 makes, but they took 44 of them. 30% shooting from the outside. Pistons started to heat up a bit down the stretch and finished more efficient than you. But the Pistons only shot 40% from the field in this game. And the Bucks won in the paint against a team that dominates their opponents in the paint. Protecting that area, scoring in that area. 46-40 was the advantage for the Bucks points in the paint. They shot 71% on their twos. That is how you offset the math, the modern math. Score in the paint. Score in the most efficient spots. Like, if you're going to take fewer shots, make sure they're efficient looks where you're scoring. And that's what the Bucks did on their twos in this game. Turnovers. Bucks had 16 of them. Pistons had 15. Bucks scored 22 points off of those turnovers, and the Pistons just scored 12. So you add all of this up, 36 points scored for the Bucks in those points off of turnovers and second chance points coming off of offensive rebounds. 37 points scored from the Pistons in those same areas. And 20 points scored at the free throw line from the Bucks to 19 for the Pistons. Even a game where you do not lose those three categories that we add up that they have routinely lost, it is no surprise they win this game. You get that, you get very, very strong defense, excellent defense from start to finish. And again, huge individual performances from Porter, from Rollins, from Jericho Sims, AJ Green. A tremendous win for this group. You hope this isn't what we look back on as the high note. And a lot of that would have to do with the health of Giannis, which we do not have any answers on as of right now. We expect them at least high-level answers within a matter of hours here. 855-616-1620. Siding Unlimited, talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And the last thing I'll note before we start to grab some calls here. I don't think it's out of school to say the Pistons clearly did not show a proper amount of respect for the opponent tonight. You can say the Bucks did the same on Monday against the Wizards, and we see it routinely across the league. There's too much talent. Even when the chips are down, every team has at least one guy, if not more, that can generate offense, hit tough shots, and things start to snowball. And the Pistons very much looked and felt like a team tonight that did not take the Bucks seriously, especially once Giannis exited this game and the lead ballooned up to 18. And when that happens, you oftentimes feel the wrath of the basketball gods. Again, make a case. That's what the Bucks experienced on Monday. That's what the Pistons experienced tonight. 855-616-1620 is that number to join us. Let's head out to the phone lines and talk with Julian from Glendale. You're up first.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Just a couple of points I'd like to make here. And one is if we could see that level of urgency and energy from the Bucks from the beginning of, you know, all season, then I think that we may be having a different conversation about number 34 and where he wants to be. That's one point I'd like to make. But the other point I'd like to make is, let's say, and I hope that this is not the case because I love to watch the guy play and would rather see him healthy wherever he plays. But let's say it's the worst case scenario when the guy is dealing with a Achilles injury and he's out of season. My question is, what I'd be very interested to know is whether the James Dolans of the world, Knicks management, would they be happy to wait but still pull off a trade or whatever it takes to get him and wait for him for a whole year? Do they think that much of him? We know Milwaukee will. I'm just that's in my mind, and I wonder if such a scenario could play out and if that might dawn on Giannis. That's what I'm wondering.
If what scenario?
Let's say Giannis is going to be out for a whole season with an Achilles tear. Would the Knicks still pull the trigger on a trade to bring him to New York and wait patiently for him to mend and get healthy and be ready to play the following season? We know the Bucks would be happily wait for him. Would the Knicks wait for him like that?
Yeah. Since you brought it up, and thanks for the call, we'll start with the Knicks. I'm not going to say 0%, but I don't see a trade to the New York Knicks occurring within the season. We got to wait to see what this injury is, number one. But the Knicks specifically, an in-season trade to New York is almost impossible. It's going to have to be a multi-team deal. And you know, as many have said, if you need a three-team trade, you don't have a trade, right? The reason for that, the Knicks are not to bore you and lose you too much here, but like this stuff is important. Whenever anybody starts concocting and jumping to the trade machine and saying we'll just do this, this, and this, this league, and I understand it loses some of you, and it's a problem for fans to keep up with. But this league is arguably the toughest to follow the rules off the court in terms of what is a legal move and what is not. So the Knicks are a first apron team. What that means is you cannot take back more than 100% of the money that you send out in a trade. The Knicks have no one on their roster that makes as much money as Giannis does. So they can't trade. Just for example here, they cannot trade Karl-Anthony Towns for Giannis straight up. Even if you throw in a boatload of assets, which, by the way, the Knicks do not have. That's what else complicates it. They can't make that move. Now, could you make it a multi-team or multi-player deal? Sure, absolutely. But then it gets into the, okay, what are the Knicks willing to part with in terms of their players, and what do the Bucks have in terms of salary that is going to match or be less than what the Knicks are cobbling together so they can make this work under the first apron? That's a big problem. The bigger problem, frankly, is the Knicks just don't have draft equity. They have their first-round pick this year that they can trade. That is going to be a bad pick. That is going to be a pick that's in the 20s, and that, quite frankly, has not helped the Bucks for the last decade plus. Future assets. They do have a first-rounder via the Wizards this season, but they only get that first-rounder if the Wizards fall outside of the top eight, which is going to be incredibly unlikely. So there's not much in terms of draft assets they can move to acquire Giannis. That, coupled with the first apron issue, means I would say it's going to be all but impossible for the Knicks, even in that scenario. If they said, hey, it's a long-term injury, he's out for the year, we don't care, we're going to trade for him, rehab on our dime, and then we get you in the building and you're with this group at some point next year. I don't think that's going to happen. What happens with the calf strain and what it actually is going to determine a lot here for the Bucks and for any other team, depending on what is decided. It's a very tricky conversation for me personally to have with the rules that I have here, but I'm not going to bury my head in the sand and completely ignore it, because it is a story and it is something that's on a lot of your minds. So by all means, the forum is open for you to chime in and just share what the experience was like today. Because I think, quite frankly, a lot of Bucks fans looked at the reporting that was coming out from Shams Charania and others over the summer and found it to be ridiculous, inaccurate, ludicrous, however you want to term it. But I have always maintained this. I don't know who that reporting is coming from and who those insights are coming from. I don't know if it is from Giannis's camp or who it is coming from. But it is coming from someone. When you are at the level of ESPN, you don't just make things up. There was definitely always smoke to this. And even what came out today in Brian Windhorst's appearance, which I think everyone is very familiar with by now, on an ESPN Cleveland station, that Windhorst saying there were discussions for a trade. That was reported 3 months ago. That came out from Ian Begley on the Zach Lowe show and a few other outlets as well. I believe The Athletic was on that, the New York Post too, that there were some discussions that took place there. And in all likelihood, for the reasons we just ran through of what makes it difficult for the Knicks to pull off such a trade in season, it was determined there's no real partnership here that works in terms of what we would get that would satisfy us and what you legally under the CBA can do. So this stuff has been out there for quite some time. There's only one, two people really that know how far down the road did it go and how much of a threat does it remain. But I don't think it's been a non-story. It is made for an awkward situation to know the pressure that's on this team of you got to win, you got to be competitive, you got to show there is this this ceiling with this group. And it's what made it incredibly tense to see this team get off to a 9-13 start and struggle, you know, frankly, even when Giannis was on the court after that 4-1 start. So, you know, the way the day started, it was certainly an awkward one, but it got complicated even more when Giannis exited this game with his calf strain. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I've mentioned this scenario, if you will, before and said, look, it's still way too early to go here, but there is one thing to keep in mind about the future of this team. It's still early in the season. It is still arguably too early to go here, but given that did not look like a good injury. I'm not saying Giannis is going to miss the season. I'm not saying Giannis is going to miss 2 months or 3 months, but if we are being honest, you have to feel incredibly nervous, right? It felt like you just dodged a bullet with the adductor strain 2 weeks ago, two plus weeks ago. This one, anytime you see that part of the leg and the history of injuries with calf strains and what those eventually become with Achilles, Doc Rivers saying after the game, they ruled out the Achilles, but it still didn't look great. There is one other thing for the future of this team and benefits that could come the Bucks' way as early as this summer. We will spend some time on that. Plenty of time to continue to hear from you as well. Whatever it is, if you want to throw out any trade ideas that you have, if you want to discuss the rumors that you've heard, as we just heard, would the Knicks trade for a player like that within season? Whatever you got, you can fire away tonight. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. When we return, though, I do want to bring back what Doc Rivers had to say before the game. That, again, is another piece that should not be lost in what was and is an incredibly awkward day for this group. We'll bring you those comments and our reaction coming up next on Bucks Talk. Some dreary music for a very, very strange day here. On the court, off the court as well. Good and bad in that strange, but a day unlike any we've really experienced here. Starts with some chatter off the court. This team opens up the day at 9-13, and it ends with an improbable win, but along the way there you lose Giannis in this game with what the team has termed a calf strain. And as we heard from Doc Rivers in his post-game media availability, Giannis, after being helped to the back, was almost immediately taken to the hospital to undergo testing and going through an MRI, I believe, as we speak. So they hope to have some answers here in the very short term about what the status is going to be of Giannis in the short term. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. If you want to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, weigh in on the game itself. Again, I don't want to take too much away from that because this was a very gritty and impressive win from this team. And, you know, in most scenarios, you would look at this and say this is the type of win that can galvanize a group, bring them back together, send you off on your way, and start to get some sustained success here. Be one of those events that you point at during the course of a season and say, you know, when things turned around, it was that game right there. But, of course, the status of Giannis going forward is going to have a lot to do with that. And, you know, if you said the status of Giannis at the start of the day, I think we would all assume that would be transaction-based. But now it is an injury that we are talking about, and from the looks of it, potentially a long-term injury. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Dell in Waukesha, you're up next.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to know kind of how you, you personally, how you feel the Bucks front office should be about the Giannis situation. Say Giannis in a month or two is 100% healthy, and say he's able to be traded. Do you think the Bucks front office should be, hey, let's get as much as we could for him in a trade and part ways? Or do you think we just ride the Giannis train till the wheels fall off, and then he's not worth much as a trade value? What do you think? What would you like to see the Bucks front office be?
Well, I don't mean this as a cop out, but there is no trade unless it is clear. And look, because of what the league has tried to do to curb player trade requests, you cannot outright come out and request a trade. I mean, you can, but you're going to be fined and deal with repercussions. But unless there is some conversations behind the scenes taking place, and maybe that has already happened, again, with a lot more smoke that seems to be coming out here, unless that takes place, I just say no. Like, you don't move the greatest player in franchise history unless he specifically tells you, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, I think I have a better chance to win elsewhere. That's what it's going to take for a deal to take place. You know, I think the tough part is we have talked so much about how this team was built for Giannis and optimized for Giannis and talked about the talent and the depth that are on there. And you would have thought you were crazy to suggest that during those games that he did not play in. And even, you know, the tail end of the games that he was prior to that injury, this team was not good in the month of November, even in the games where he was on the floor. But you see these flashes, like tonight against the Pistons and the way that you played without him, like the 4-1 start to the season, where sure, the season started with the Wizards, but that also included wins against the Raptors, against the Knicks, against the Golden State Warriors. You played tough against the Cleveland Cavaliers on the road. So we've seen it in there with this group. We just have not seen as much of that as we have the bad and the other end of the spectrum. So, you know, I don't initiate a trade unless it is, you know, for lack of a better phrase, demanded. And I think it may lead to a stalemate, I'm sure you could say. But, you know, the haul is a different conversation. And that's why if it starts to go down that path, you have to examine what other teams have and why we just went through it, 10 or so minutes ago. The Knicks are not that team, at least during the season. Because of the first apron and because of the lack of other assets that they have, it would take a multi-team deal, which I for this caliber player and the dollar figure of salaries going out, I just don't see that happening during the regular season. And it almost feels like a deal that would be a part of many deals if that were the case, where the Knicks are selling off other pieces that quite frankly wouldn't benefit the Bucks to get assets and then include in that. But I am not proactively looking to move the best player in franchise history. And to be clear, I don't believe the franchise is either. Like, look at all the moves they've made along the way to say, let's just continue to see, to your point, if we can ride this thing until the wheels fall off. That is our preference, unless our superstar feels otherwise. Because the other thing I'll add is this. And I understand this has no real impact, if any, on anyone listening to this show and most fans in general. But there's more to it than the on-the-court performance and then how good your team is because of having a player like Giannis. You think about your international appeal. You think about ticket sales. You think about merchandise sales. You think about the revenue generation here. He is a cash cow to have that player, not only for your organization, for the city, for tourism, for fans that travel here to see Giannis, all of that stuff, for keeping your franchise relevant. And I know the league is much different than it was in the 90s, but Milwaukee was basketball Siberia before Giannis arrived here. And it's much easier. There are more pathways for teams in small markets to become and remain competitive now than there were in the 90s and early 2000s, and really right up until Giannis really started to ascend here. But there's more to it than that. You know, like there are people whose jobs rely on that. There is money that comes in that you otherwise would not have and things that you're able to do. There's more fan appeal and fan reach. There's more TV money coming in. Things like that, that a trade, you're walking away from a lot other than the on-the-court performance. And I think that's also why the organization is going to maintain that of like, we're not moving on. Number one, you make us a good team, but how valuable financially this player is to us. Like, unless you make it clear this ain't working, we're not going to initiate that deal. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's grab one more call here before the break and check in with our friend here, Dick in Port Washington, always the upbeat voice of reason here. I'm sure things are not doom and gloom in your world now.
Well, I think all that you just got done saying is true, and there's a lot more involved, but I don't think the player involved and this isn't just him. I think it's any player involved. I don't think they really care about that.
Oh, no.
I've got written notes tonight because this whole thing has upset me so. And if you remember, the only other time I called this year, I advocated for trading him then.
Yeah.
I think there is more Kevin Durant in Giannis than what we as fans thought. This year with the points and him saying that he's going to catch LeBron and blah, blah, blah. You know, a lot of times, and this is harsh, I realize, is that a lot of times I think he's playing for the name behind the jersey, not so much for the name in front. I mean, the other night, and this really upset me, when they lost to Washington, Giannis said straight to the locker room. I didn't see him go over to see Chris out after the game. Nothing. He refused to take questions from reporters, and the next day he washes his accounts out. You know, I look at the Bucks,
well,
and they have
real
done
quick,
everything.
That was not the next day. It had been uncovered by a few others that it actually happened a week or 2 weeks prior to that. But, yes, it was still recent.
Okay, so then his mind was made up earlier. My point is this, is that the Bucks have done everything possible to hang on to this guy. And what we in Wisconsin should realize that we've lived through this twice before with the Green Bay Packers, with Favre and Rodgers. And the Packers did everything possible to keep those two guys. And you got to remember now, and I'm including Giannis in there, all three of these guys, Giannis, Favre, and Rodgers, we've won one championship. The only guy that's been to two championship series has been Favre.
Yeah.
I think you trade him now, and I understand all these other ramifications, but he's 31, he's injured again, and if you look back to the championship year, he was the MVP of the final. But without Chris and Drew and Brooke in those early games, they never would have got there. I just think it's time to cut bait. I think that Giannis is very concerned about himself, and rightly so. Anyone that's read his book, you certainly would understand where this comes from. But now is the time to do this. Every injury like this just leads you, when's the next one going to come? And it's not just one, the same injury. It's multiple injuries. His style of play induces more injuries to come. And him starting to think that he can shoot more three-pointers and even the mid-ranges, he'll never catch up to a guy like Durant in shooting or some of the other bigs. He's not that kind of guy. And I've said this numerous times in the past, but we got by it. When he's on the court, we have a lot of guys standing around wondering what's going to happen next. I don't see, you know, I don't understand why the Knicks even want him with Brunson on the court. If they trade him there, what's Brunson going to do? Or vice versa. I just don't get it. Now's the time to trade him. He's maximum value now. And I've got a concern that they're getting an MRI on a supposed half strain. In this country, we've had some other MRIs lately that also I question, and this is one too. They're trying to rule out an Achilles tendon injury. There's no doubt about it. Or how the muscle, and you're the guy with the muscle names and everything, because we've been over this in the past.
So, Doc said they ruled out the Achilles. Well, there is a test that you can do that will tell you immediately if it is an Achilles. I'm guessing they did that. It's not through the MRI. I can't remember what they call the test. Maybe there's a physician listening. Okay. But there is something you can do that can check immediately. But my fear was that kind of invoked shades of number one Dame, but also when Giannis suffered the soleus injury against the Celtics.
Right, there we go.
Which, you know, as we learned in that offseason, it was basically like a, what, two and a half to three month timetable that he was working at, and they just kept it ambiguous that maybe he plays in the playoffs. That was never going to happen. It was at least 2 months that he was out before he was able to resume doing anything. So, like, if you're looking at the same type of deal, it brings you into a different conversation, Dick, in that.
Yeah. I mean, and this can be semantics too. You know, if the tendon is attached, the Achilles tendon is intact, I'm sorry, the muscle leading up to it could be torn.
Yeah.
I don't get it. And so, and one other semantics point I want to make here is not talking about he has, you know, for the 50th time, I will say it over and over, Giannis has never asked for a trade, okay? That's semantics. One of the reasons he wouldn't do it, because he's going to get fined, like you said, and he values the dollar.
Well, he wanted to do it publicly for that reason.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. But more importantly, you can word it as such as that I want to discuss my future with the franchise, okay? If he's going to stick around, there's no future to talk about. He's going to stick around.
Right.
So to me, that's a red flag saying, I can't say what I really want to say, but let's discuss the future where I want to not live here anymore. I'm pretty blunt, and I feel bad because the guy is injured, but it's time to cut bait. Get as much as you can. Keep some of these guys. I'd even package Bobby with him to get more with a three-way trade. We've got some young guys, and you go from there. And you need to get some picks, too.
Well,
and I don't know how many teams are going
to. You need to get a lot of picks, and there's a couple of teams that have that. It's been talked about a lot. I mean, there's one team that, and look, again, to be clear, like, there's a lot of smoke out there, but there has not been a trade request. So let's just continue to reiterate that with the position that I have. There's one team that makes a ton of sense because they have some of the picks that you lost the next 2 years and some young players that they could offer as well.
Are you talking Houston or
the Atlanta Hawks?
Oh, yeah, right.
So Atlanta has
Trae Young, though.
Atlanta has the other half of the pick swap. Well, and Trae Young is 1 year left on his deal. He has a player option, and that's the contract that would eat up most of what you would have to take in to send him out. But Atlanta has the other half of the pick swap. So, in other words, New Orleans or your pick, whichever one is better, Atlanta has that next year. And then they have a swap with New Orleans the summer afterwards as well, which is involves the pick that you gave to the Pelicans. So you can get could get some short-term relief from them. The one other thing I was going to mention, though, Dick, is, you know, if this is, let's just say it's a soleus strain, and this is going to be, we'll say 2 months that Giannis misses here. So that's going to take you into basically the All-Star break, second half of the season. Like, at that point, I just don't know, number one, where you're going to be, right, in terms of the standings. And secondly, if we're talking about mid-February, March, if you're down there in the standings and if you're fighting for, you know, your playoff or play-in tournament lives, how much motivation are you going to have to rush him back knowing, look, the absolute worst-case scenario is if he does something to this at this point in the calendar year, because that's going to wipe out a full season next year. But if he's going to miss extended time, and we are kind of where we are right now, like somewhere in that 10 or 11 spot, there is one benefit to this season that we kind of, I wouldn't say ignored, but you weren't ready to go down that path earlier in the season because of where the expectations were, right? We thought probably like a 5 seed, 6 seed, somewhere in there for this team this season. And that is what I just mentioned with the pick swaps. New Orleans is bad right now. New Orleans is, what, second-worst record in the West? They just announced Zion is going to miss 2 to 3 weeks, so they're going to continue to be bad. They don't have that pick. All you have to do is finish right around where the Pelicans are, and I understand the lottery is going to determine where you're picking overall. But if there is any year where you are going to have everyone's favorite phrase in the gap year and just say, well, let's maybe not pack it in, but we know we're not going to meet expectations this year. We're going to get a good draft. Like, this is the year where you could benefit from that, because if that shapes up that way, the Pelicans we know are going to be bad. If you're bad as well, even if your pick leapfrogs them and now Atlanta gets an even better pick, you're probably getting a good pick from New Orleans in that swap. So this could potentially be a year where they're a lottery team. And this draft, this summer, and not only a lottery team, they could potentially be a pretty good lottery team, somewhere there in the middle. And this draft is absolutely loaded. You've already got found money in A.J. Green and Ryan Rollins, and now what you're getting from Kevin Porter Jr., who, if he continues to play like this, you're going to have to give him a new deal this upcoming summer. But you've already got some of those pieces. Obviously, you got Miles Turner. And if you can now add a blue-chip talent in the lottery because you didn't have health fortunes this season and the New Orleans Pelicans are really bad, that you're both going to have good picks, that's also something that can kind of jumpstart things for you. And even if there's no trade, to add that to a package with a team that already has Giannis makes you reconsider, too, of, hey, I got this guy that's a stud coming in.
Yeah, the thing is that Giannis has said in the past, he has only been part of a rebuild. You're going to get a rookie in, and, you know, even if he's the second or third pick, is he going to step right in? Is Giannis going to want to stick around for that?
Well, I mean, look at some of the rookies we've seen the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Maybe a trade with Atlanta. The name slips me now, but who is the forward that they picked up this year that is really playing well for Atlanta now?
I want to
say Johnson.
Well, they had Jalen Johnson for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah. Okay, 2 years then, right?
He's really been there more than that. Well, he really broke out last year, but he battled injuries earlier.
Right, okay. I mean, I just think now's the time. The car's going to keep breaking down.
We'll see, Dick. We'll check in with you when we have the next event occur.
I hope it's nothing serious, but like I said with you, these injuries where they just go down with nobody around them, and, you know, they showed the play again where it happened. Doc said there was some contact. It had to be very, very, very,
very
minimal.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening. So, well, thanks for taking my negativity.
All right, Dick. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, bye-bye.
855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Again, a very, very strange day here that obviously started with off-the-court chatter and ends with an improbable win against the Pistons. But along the way, you lose Giannis to what the team has called a calf strain, and now we're just refreshing every couple of minutes here to see what updates have come out from that MRI. We'll go back a couple hours when we return and revisit Doc Rivers and his media availability today. You knew it was going to be interesting, and it turned very, very testy. So we'll revisit those comments coming up after this on Bucks Talk. 113-109, the final score tonight. That is the good news. The Bucks storm back to beat the Pistons in a game they fell behind by 18 points in the first quarter. A big reason for falling behind by that much, the absence of Giannis, who exited 3 minutes into the game with what the team has called a calf strain. We have not seen any updates yet after the game. Doc Rivers said they have ruled out an Achilles tear, but he is undergoing an MRI this evening, and they'll have a better idea hours after that. That was about an hour ago or so that we heard that update from Doc Rivers, so we'll see if anything breaks here while we are still on the air. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line if you want to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Obviously, the day started with some very interesting off-the-court chatter, and it only intensified throughout the day. It led to the pregame media availability for Doc Rivers, which if you're listening to this show, I'm assuming you're pretty well familiar with what the setting is for these pregame press conferences, but we hear from both coaches prior to the game here. We'll hear from the road coach, J.B. Bickerstaff, tonight, 90 minutes prior to tip-off. We hear from Doc Rivers 15 minutes before that. It is usually questions about the matchup tonight, injury updates, which there was some of that, as the Bucks had a pretty lengthy injury report. But the news of the day kind of took over the questions and the tone of the press conference. So here is Doc Rivers' pregame media availability from earlier today. He went for about 6 minutes. We removed the final question, which was about the matchup in the Pistons, but about 5 minutes of back and forth on the reporting that came out today and where the team is currently at. So here's what Doc Rivers had to say.
There was a report today from ESPN about the conversations Giannis is having with the team about his future and whether or not it should be here in Milwaukee or elsewhere.
So here we go again. There's been no conversations.
For you, we talked about this obviously at the start of training camp, and I'm curious, is it any different in the middle of a season?
It's different in the middle of the season because the season's going on, and you have to answer these questions again. And I want to make it clear just for the, I would say one more time, but for the 50th time, it clearly is not getting the One Network, for sure. Giannis has never asked to be traded, ever. I can't make that more clear.
So, you know,
you can keep asking the different ways, but it's going to be the same answer.
As you said, though, there's a difference between December 3rd and October 8th or August. Or so, and these guys, everyone's online. So everyone, so what is it?
Well, I don't know that. I can't answer what the players are thinking and all that.
So how do you not address it? Is that up to him, or how does that work in a locker room where you guys are trying to win games?
Yeah, we're trying to win games. Listen, we've lost. The reason this is out is because we're not playing well. You know, when we started out the season, I heard guys said, "Man, they're going to be really good." You know, so let's just call a spade a spade. We're not playing well. We lost, had a tough loss the other night. And so now, you know, this is the subject matter. It's no more true than it was this summer. Does it affect our team and our players? I hope not. I can tell you after listening to our guys talk today, it doesn't, but that doesn't mean it won't. I can't answer that.
So he made a point when you guys both came down in October to say, he's like, "I'm here and I'm saying this because my teammates need to hear it."
Yeah.
Again, it's
again, I don't know if he said that to his, I don't think he needs to, but if he has to, he will. I know they all talked today and they were great. So again, it is what it is. The thing I keep saying is, I go to the source. I talk to the source every single day. Every single day. And he loves Milwaukee and he loves the Bucks.
You kept mentioning just about the conversations today. Just what do you mean? What did you hear today? Is that something to shoot around? Like what are you referring to, I guess, in that?
I don't understand the question.
You said the guys, what you liked, what you heard.
No, we talk every day. You know, I'm the coach of the Bucks. Yeah, and we literally talk every day. Every single day. As a group, as a team, we talked about how we played the other night. We talked about moving forward, where we want to go.
But you heard things you said that encouraged you and just kind of what those things?
I've never been discouraged. I don't understand the question. Encouraged me about what?
Just about how you guys rebound from this, play the way you're playing, I'm talking about.
Well, I think the first way to rebound is get healthy. That's number one. And we are. Finally, I think, you know, Scoot went out last game, but hopefully he'll play tonight. And that's the number one thing, is get healthy and then see where we go. We feel very good about this team. But we have to play better. We have to win games. And, you know, until we start winning games, this is going to be out here. If we rip off 10 in a row, my guess is it's magically going to disappear. You know, that's just how I feel. I just keep saying this. I've heard guys say they've talked to sources, and I talk to the source. And if I've learned anything in life, the source usually knows.
Just what gives you that confidence that y'all can get back to where y'all were, maybe the first handful?
Because I saw us at the beginning of the year. You know, I saw us for one quarter, you know, at the beginning of the year. And we haven't had our team. We haven't had Giannis and Scoot, you know, and in the minutes that they played on the floor with Ryan, I think our plus minus is a plus 26. So those numbers make me feel positive about the team. But again, we have to win games. And if we win games, then, you know, we'll be talking about, are you guys looking to improve your team at trade deadline to see if you can go to the next level, you know? And if we don't, then we'll be talking about this. That's just how it works.
You guys have a pretty lengthy injury report tonight.
Yes, a lot of guys.
Giannis was on it. Is he going to be able to go?
He's playing tonight. I think everyone is playing. Bobby is questionable, but probably hit, you know, 50-50.
All right, that was Doc Rivers before the game. And you knew coming in, the first question is going to be about Giannis and about the chatter surrounding him and the team earlier today. We have heard the same message from Doc Rivers all season long, that this is outside chatter. None of this has happened has kind of been the messaging here. He was very defiant there too, that saying, "I go to the source," and this is not anything that was said. one of the two parties here, being Doc Rivers and the media, one of the two sides is clearly lying, because both messages that we have heard are on opposite ends of the spectrum. I don't know. I don't think any of us know which side is the more truthful one. But we have seen both of them dig their heels in and maintain either this happened, or as we've heard from Doc Rivers for months now, none of this has happened. None of these conversations are taking place. All of this is happening outside of this building from you guys fabricating this. It was very awkward at times to sit through, because you could see on Doc's face, he is clearly fatigued by this conversation. He knew it was coming. You knew that was the first question that had to be asked, so you're obviously ready for it. But you could see he's tired, and he's grown tired of dealing with the what is going to happen with Giannis question. Matt, did you hear that back and forth prior to playing it just now?
Yes.
What was your immediate reaction?
I certainly agree with, or I guess I feel the same as you're saying, like feeling fatigued. Like I am kind of in the camp of, while I agree with what you said about ESPN and you don't get there by making stuff up, I am in the camp of like, you know what? I don't care about any Giannis report until it's him getting traded. Like, it's just so exhausting to listen to. But in terms of what he said there, I think my reaction is hopefully somewhat truthful, but also probably a defense mechanism to not let this take over the season.
Right. And this was the part that I was most curious to see today. And if things go south and spiral, is you are in an unenviable position. If you're Doc Rivers, if you're John Horst, if you're any coach on the staff, because this is out there. And yeah. I can't remember who asked it, but I think it was Jim Ozarski mentioned too, like, guys are online. Guys can see and read everything that's out there. I do know they had some meetings today, they being players on the team, and Giannis was a part of those. So I'm sure there was a clearing the air of sorts to talk through, like, hey, man, can you just let us know, is there any truth to what's going on here? But, you know, that's out there.
Doc said they talked and they were good. Obviously, that's what he's saying. But, yeah, I would kill to know what was discussed.
And I think on the one hand, and I'm by no means saying I think Doc Rivers is lying here, but I think if you are in his position, isn't this the stance that you probably have to take to, you know, kind of drive home the guys, don't pay attention to this. Like, we are a team. We are still going to play as a team. We still have Giannis. This is how we're attacking the season. Don't let this hang over you. Don't spend time worrying and wondering, is something going to happen with Giannis, right? Like, don't worry about any of that. Worry about everything we go over in film study and walkthroughs and everything else. So, like, I get why this is the stance that you would take if you're Doc Rivers, but when you're this defiant and when we've heard reporting that would suggest otherwise, then it becomes the which side is it really here?
Yeah, I mean, maybe the more interesting press conference would be a John Horst, right? Not that he's going to give away his secrets or what they're actually working
well,
on.
But I mean, look, the more interesting press conference, if we could inject them with truth serum, would be Alex Tsiratsis and Giannis.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, here we go. Open mic, let's have it.
Yeah, because I think the one report, and again, I don't completely buy into everything, but the report, you talked about the Knicks earlier. Supposedly, one of the reports is that's the only team he wants to play for outside of Milwaukee. And it's like, man, that really throws a wrench into any, like all these scenarios that are on Twitter today. It's like, if the only one he wants to go to, the Bucks want to do right by him if this is what he wants, but it has to work for the Bucks. And as you broke down, the Knicks, there's a lot of things that don't work there.
Yeah, and look, if that's where we ultimately get, that there is only one team that I am, and again, I cannot overstate enough, there has been no trade request from Giannis. This is all hypothetical. But if you get to that spot where I would like a trade request and or I would like a trade and it's here, I only want to play for this team. The interesting conversation is the do right by him notion, because like going down the path of who owes who what in any relationship, like Giannis already brought you a championship. You can also argue, you know, this has not worked for the last 2 years, right? I mean, to lose in the first round, each of those two instances, to be the one seed for the last 3 years, to be the one seed, lose to Miami Heat in the first round as well, you have fallen short of expectations. It is not for a lack of effort and not for a lack of trying and not for a lack of the front office uncovering every stone possible and trying to do the best they can to surround Giannis and his teammates with the proper amount of talent to be a championship-level team. I think we all came into this season knowing little different feel than it was two seasons ago when you were walking in. And even last year when you were off back-to-back first-round exits, there were still some of us that were going to lean into the, you still got Giannis and Dame, and who knows what happens from there. But there's another part of you that looked at, like, I don't know about the defense and some of the numbers with this pairing and the points that they're scoring per 100 possessions when it's Giannis and Dame and yada, yada, yada. But they tried everything they could. Trading for Jrue Holiday, trading for Damian Lillard, making some free agency moves, even moves that didn't work out, trading 5 second rounders for Jay Crowder, moves that did, like trading for PJ Tucker way back when, even before they won the title in what, I think it was the first year of this iteration of the group, and the Mirza, Nikola Mirotic deal, right? John Horst and his staff have done everything they can. They have not sat on their hands, which is, you know, one of the things that I think gave and gives a lot of Bucks fans confidence that this is just that. It is just smoke. There are no flames to this, because you can look at other situations with superstars where that was not the case. Think about Cleveland towards the end. Think about some of the things the Lakers have done, too, to shift their team culture and orientation to Luka Doncic versus LeBron James because of the age. And the Lakers, or excuse me, the Cavs at one point basically drawing a line in the sand and saying, look, we're not doing this year-to-year thing anymore. We're not trading all of our future assets until you sign on the dotted line and tell us you are going to be here next year and in 2 years and so on, because otherwise you leave and we've gutted ourselves. The Bucks are kind of in that spot. The emergence of Ryan Rollins, what you have from AJ Green, having both of those guys under contract and feeling like we've got a player worthy of extending again this offseason. And I know we're a long ways from getting there, but still what you've seen so far and what you saw at the tail end of last year in Kevin Porter Jr., you at least have some younger pieces. The draft equity is the tough part. But again, as we mentioned, it's not what Giannis, it's not what any veterans, and I'm sure it's not what Miles Turner signed up for to say, hey, we're going to take a gap year this year because how good the draft is, especially in the first round, and the fact that New Orleans sucks, and they have no path to getting better this year. For some reason, they traded that pick swap. So as long as we just stay one step in front of them, somewhere around there, we're going to get a really good pick this summer. And I know it's not what you guys were sold on. I know it's not the level of competition you were hoping for. But we think ultimately this is going to make us better in the long term. I don't know if that becomes a viable option, right? I mean, I think Giannis's status and health, not by way of trade, but just his health, is going to go a long way in determining that. But you can make a strong case at this point, that's what this team needs more than anything. More of an injection of youth. We called for it for years. You saw some of it here in the last 2 years. But I think what you've seen is you've got a start at it. You've gotten a start at it. You need to continue investing in that because the league has changed. You know, and that's the other thing that I think we've started to learn here in these 23 games. And last year and the year prior to that, like we've seen this gradual change throughout the league. But this year especially, you know, it makes you question, as we are now more than a quarter of the way through the season, whether or not five out or Giannis and four out. Giannis and four guys that can shoot, and that's all they do is shoot. They're very good at it, right? The Bucks still number one in the league in three-point efficiency. But it's the rest of the things and how this league is played. And you got to do more than shoot, right? We went from guys that were defenders and getting away with playing one-way players. And then it gradually became the, well, we can get away with playing this guy because he can shoot, but he can't really defend as well, so we got to find a defensive replacement. And now I think it's morphed full circle into the got to be able to do both. You got to pose some type of threat on the offensive end, and you cannot be a turnstile on defense. I don't think they have turnstiles defensively, but shot creation is important. Look at how much the offense took a massive, massive step backwards when Kevin Porter Jr. was out, when it was just Giannis and Ryan Rollins. And then, of course, when KPJ and Giannis were both out, you were stuck in the mud. You need shot creators and initiators and guys that can run your offense. You need guys that can get others involved. You need guys that can score at three levels, like Ryan Rollins, like KPJ. Cannot just rely on catch and shoot guys. That's where you start to get into trouble and where your offense can stall because of the modern NBA and the types of defenses that are thrown out there, and conversely, how teams have built their teams and saying, we just need guys that can do everything. Right, we've talked about depth being important, but the other really key factor is guys that can give you a little bit of everything. You don't have to be elite at one thing. Just be really good at multiple things. And that, to me, has been the biggest change in this league. And it may be unfortunate, right? We still have, 50-some games remaining here to kind of steer things in the right direction and right the ship. But it may end up being unfortunate that, look, we just kind of leaned into the wrong things at the wrong time. We'll take a look at the other scores from tonight. Another piece of good news for the Bucks is we're now a quarter of the way, more than that, through the season. We can take a look at the standings. We will do that and share the good news and preview Friday night's matchup with the 76ers after this on Bucks Talk. 113-109. Do not want to lose sight of that. Best win of the season, 23 games in, isn't saying much, but best win of the season for the Bucks, an impressive win. Pistons have run roughshod on the league. They came in 17-4. They handled you the last time you played, and granted, you didn't have Giannis and you didn't have Kevin Porter Jr. on the floor, but they've done that to a lot of teams this season. They are a really good team. I think a strong case can be made the Pistons did not show you the proper amount of respect tonight, and that came back to bite them, especially when Giannis exited this game. But you won this game. The Pistons did not lose this game. You cannot overstress that. I do want to make sure we call attention to that and remember that as we wrap things up here, because a lot of the chatter on this show today had to do with off-the-court news and an injury to Giannis and his status going forward. So we have not seen any updates on it yet. I would imagine we'll get some type of reporting, probably from everyone's favorite reporter at some point in the early morning hours here, or at least tomorrow morning, on a high-level timetable, at least, that you're looking at for Giannis. I do not expect him to play Friday against the Sixers. I do not expect him to play Saturday in Detroit against the Pistons. After that, you don't play again until 1 week from tomorrow. I do not expect him to play in that game against the Pistons, given how things looked when he exited and hearing he's undergoing an MRI. You did win tonight, though. And again, there's a lot of things you look at tonight and say, this is what we have to do going forward. You won, or you at least matched the Pistons in the margins. You got to the free throw line. They're a team that puts teams at the line quite a bit. and you were aggressive enough to initiate offense. That's the other thing. This is not a league-wide conspiracy or a hit job from Adam Silver to get Giannis out of Milwaukee. That does not exist. It's a lazy narrative, and even citing the free throw differences. The Bucks are losing at the free throw line because of their offense and because of their defense. They're an undersized defense that has been out of position quite a bit. They were not tonight. A very strong defensive showing tonight. How much of that has to do with playing differently and leaning into zone? You know, how much of that has to do with Jericho Sims seeing as much floor time as he did? But you have two point guards, or guards, I should say, that have length, long arms, get into passing lanes. They want to play aggressive defensively. That helps your defense now. You didn't have that before. And if you don't have that and you're playing undersized and you're giving up rebounds and your offense is reliant on moving the ball around the perimeter and getting threes, you are not going to draw a lot of whistles. You're not going to get to the free throw line a lot shooting threes. It's why for years, all the talking heads would push back. Charles Barkley, the last one up until the very end, to say he didn't see the Warriors winning a championship because they're a three-point shooting team. Part of it has to do with free throws. The way you get free throws is you play aggressively. You get into the paint. Get paint touches. Attack the basket. Force the issue. You know, Drew Hamlin talked about this quite a bit, who's the trainer for the Stars. Jason Tatum's one of his guys in that. Here's what I tell my guys. Be the aggressor. Get downhill. Play aggressive. Give the officials a reason to call that. But then when you get contact, sell it too. That's how you get to the free throw line. That's not the Bucks offense. Or at least it hasn't been up until this point. That is why they're losing at the free throw line. That is why the opponent is getting so many more looks when you got, you know, an entire backcourt of 6'4" defenders who are defending small forwards. You're giving up a lot. That's why you're putting opponents at the free throw line. That's why you're not getting a lot of free throws. But they did a much better job of that tonight. They also did a much better job rebounding the basketball. That is step one in how this defense is going to improve. Just close the possession. Reduce and eventually eliminate the second chance opportunities for your opponents. As we've talked about how good offenses are in the league now, the Bucks remain incredibly efficient. But look at their win percentage. And you know why that is? Because so what if you're efficient? If you're allowing the opponent to be equally efficient, it's a toss-up. And you're going to lose more games than you otherwise would have won. So step one is improve the rebounding. Just get defensive rebounds. Close out the possessions. In turn, that's going to lead to tighter defense. It's going to lead to the chance to gamble a little bit more with guys like Kevin Porter Jr. and Ryan Rollins. Turn that into steals, deflections. You can use that to generate transition and fast break points. These are all the baby steps that you're going to have to go through. The larger conversation is this the path you're going to go down, right? Like, if you get the worst case scenario, if you get that update later on tonight, early tomorrow morning, do you reevaluate things given what we said about the quality in next year's draft, next summer's draft, and the fact that you are all of a sudden looking at a scenario because of where the New Orleans Pelicans are that, hey, if that's the case, we could get a really good pick here and use that to just continue to add to the talent pool that we have here. But it paid off tonight. And this can be a win that can bring you together and say, look, at the very least, we saw how it's done. This is how we need to play. We can control our efforts. We can control our execution. Let's focus on that going forward and just piece together better basketball. Friday night is when they have a chance to do that again. The Philadelphia 76ers come to town. You were looking for some revenge against the Pistons. You're going to be doing the same against the Sixers. That is one of the other games that sticks out like an eyesore right now that you let get away because of late game execution. So a chance to seek a little bit of redemption on Friday night. 7 o'clock tip-off against the 76ers. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. Before we wrap, too, I mentioned, hey, one piece of good news. Chicago Bulls lost tonight. So the Bucks have moved in front of them in the standings, and they are now up to 10th in the Eastern Conference, a cause for celebration. Back into the playoff picture for this Bucks team. 7 o'clock tip on Friday for the Bucks and the Sixers. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. Thanks to everybody that chimed in tonight on a very, very interesting day. We will talk with you once again Friday night.